kitchen at home, there was a plate that Mum bought on holiday in Tenerife, with a hand-painted motto: "Today is the first day of the rest of your life." It had never registered with me any more than Dad's trophy for singing, or the New York snow dome my brother Kevin sent over one Christmas. But that last day of the holiday, I couldn't seem to get it out of my head. When I woke up, the inside of the tent was glowing orange, like a pumpkin lantern. I inched the zipper door down carefully so as not to wake Dole, then stuck my face out into dazzling sunlight. The air was still a little bit shivery, and I could hear the distant clank of bells. I wrote the word plangent in my diary with an asterisk next to it, so I could check it in the dictionary when I got home. The view of Florence from the campsite, all terracotta domes and white marble towers shimmering against a flat blue sky, was so like it was supposed to be. I had this strange feeling of sadness, as if I was missing it already. There were lots of things I wouldn't miss, like sleeping on the ground. After a few hours, the stones felt like they're growing into your back. And getting dressed in a space less than 3 feet high and walking all the way to the shower block, then remembering you've left the toilet roll in the tent. It's funny how when you get towards the end of a holiday, half of you never wants it to end, and the other half is looking forward to the comforts of home. We'd been interrailing for a month, down through France, then into Italy, sleeping on stations, drinking beer with Dutch boys on campsites, struggling with sunburn in slow, sticky trains. Dole was into beaches and Bellinis. I was more maps and monuments. But we got along like we always had since we met on the first day at St. Cuthbert's, age 4. And Maria Dolores O'Neill, I was the one who abbreviated it to Dole, asked, "Do you want to be my best friend?" We were different, but we complimented each other. Whenever I said that, Dole always said, "Well, you've got great skin," or "I really like those shoes." And if I told her it wasn't that sort of compliment, she'd laugh and say she knew. But I was never sure she did. You develop a kind of special language with people you're close to, don't you? My memories of the other places we went to that holiday are like postcards. The floodlit amphitheatre in Verona against an ink-dark sky, the azure bay of Naples, the unexpectedly vibrant colours of the Sistine Chapel ceiling. But that last carefree day we spent in Florence, the day before my life changed, I can retrace hour by hour, footstep by footstep almost. Dole always took much longer than me getting ready in the mornings because she never went out without full makeup, even then. I liked having time on my own, especially that morning because it was the day of my A-level results and I was trying to compose myself for hearing if I'd done well enough to get into university. On the way up to the campsite the previous evening, I'd noticed the floodlit facade of a church high above the road. Pretty and incongruous, like a jewel box in a forest. In daylight, the basilica was much bigger than I'd imagined, and as I climbed the grand flights of Baroque steps towards it, I had the peculiar thought that it would make the perfect setting for a wedding, which was unlike me because I'd never had a proper boyfriend then, let alone pictured myself in a long white dress. From the terrace at the top, the view was so exhilarating. I felt an irrational urge to cry as I promised myself solemnly, like you do when you're 18, that I would one day return. There was no one else around, but the heavy wooden door of the church opened when I gave it a push. It was so dark inside after the glare, my eyes took a little time to adjust to the gloom. The air was a few degrees cooler than the heat outside, and it had that churchy smell of dust mingling with incense. Alone in God's house, I was acutely aware of the irreverent flap of my sandals as I walked up the steps to the raised chancel. I was staring at the giant, impassive face of Jesus, praying that my grades were going to be okay, when suddenly, magically, the apse filled with light. Spinning around, I was startled to see a lanky guy, about my own age, standing beside a box on the wall where you could put a coin in to turn the lights on. Damp brown hair swept back from his face. He was even more inappropriately dressed than me, in running shorts, a vest and trainers. There was a moment when we could have smiled at one another, or even said something. But we missed it, as we both self-consciously turned our attention to the huge dome of golden mosaic, and the light went out again with a loud clunk, as decisively and unexpectedly as it had come on. I glanced at my watch in the ensuing dimness, as if to imply that I would like to give the iconic image more serious consideration, perhaps even contribute my own minute of electricity, if I wasn't already running late. As I reached the door, I heard the clunk again, and looking up at Christ's solemn, illuminated features, felt as if I'd disappointed him.